D1, number 2A.
I know that the covenant, which being has made with us anew, is a covenant that has consoled and comforted already every one of you. I'm quite sure that whenever we have difficulties with people, with the people universe, that's really the only other difficulty which we have except our body. I know that when you go into your sanctuary and begin to realize that there is no people universe, that error is not personal, and that good is not personal, that an enormous relief comes upon us, on each one. Nothing relieves us so much of everything than to drop any concept which has to do with a God and with men and people. Because the moment we touch the concept of an infinite operative principle which knows no man, and see that that principle operates by itself and operates always as the idea of love, then the Comforter has come, and we feel free and relieved. So we are not losing anything of value if we see that the term man has to be dropped, and that now in its place stands idea, the compound idea, the infinite idea. Why is it that Mrs. Eddy says that all that there is real is God and his ideas? Why didn't she say all that is real is God and man? Because God has only an idea. And all through her books goes that call that only the divine mind and his ideas are real. It says God and his ideas constitute all that exists. Why doesn't she say God and man is all that constitutes that exists? Idea. Why are we therefore concerned about men, people, mortals, and so on? This is quite a new challenge. It's a new period. It's a new era that's breaking in. He says, all is mind and its ideas. All. He doesn't say there is mind and its ideas, and besides that there is man. All is mind and its ideas. That's all there is. Should we run after something which isn't? To be or not to be? That's the question. Shall we run after that which is or which isn't? We will attain that which is, then consciousness has just to stay in that one point, principle, knowing itself infinitely only as its own idea. Mind creates all in ideas. Mind forms ideas. Not man. Man is only a name that we attach afterwards for ideas, because humanity still wants to have something to do with man, because it's the salvation of man that we attain. So the whole textbook, you see, is full of man and man, but always trying in the text, trying to say man is not really man, it's idea. Until finally we drop the term man and see, well, principle has an idea, full stop. This is all that there exists. Mind, she says, is the central sun of its own system of ideas. It isn't the central sun of all the people. Not at all. Mind knows his own ideas. not even says mind knows men. Because what mind can know is only ideas. Because that's the nature of mind. Man is not the nature, man is a name. The mind only knows itself as ideas. And these ideas are born of spirit. And they all have one principle, he says. What do we gain by seeing that all there is principle and idea? Because idea is infinite. We gain the infinite. We are not losing anything which has any value, but we are going to gain infinitude, because an idea is always infinite. An idea can never be restricted. An idea is never a pound of an idea or a bucket full of ideas, John Dolly used to say. Idea is always without limits. It's infinite in its nature. It's not confined in any way. It's not even confined in any way what it can accomplish. It's not even confined in a way of power or of substance. On the contrary, every idea, because it is infinite, is as big qualitatively as the infinite one. Therefore, the moment we touch an idea, we touch the power of the infinite one. The moment we think in terms of idea, we think in the terms of the substance of the infinite spirit. Always the moment we touch idea, we touch the infinite one. Idea has no place and is not restricted to time. Idea is the only answer to the whole material universe. The only answer, because the material universe is restriction in every way, because matter is three-dimensional. And the only thing that has infinite dimensions is idea. So no matter if we go from the three-dimensional to the four-dimensional and from to the curved space, it's not enough. It's still limited. Idea has infinite dimensions. That's the dimension of dignity, the dimension of beauty, the dimension of power, the dimension of substance, the dimension of holiness, the dimension of harmony, the dimension of irresistibility, the dimension of newness, the dimension of spontaneity. There's all the dimensions you can think of. That's the wonder of idea. I think Mrs. Eddy has done a few things which are standing out for centuries. For the first time she defined God, and for the first time she could see that being is constituted of idea. All the philosophies, no matter if we go back to Plato, who also has talked about the theories of ideas, all up to that, it was always matter and idea, or idea behind matter. Ideas were never the only thing and infinite. For the first time she conceived of the nature of idea as infinite in every way. What on earth, if we ask ourselves honestly, do we want more than to see that being is an impersonal, incorporeal principle that has an infinite idea, and that we can get hold of it? What is there more? I can't figure it out. I can't. And it's right here on our doorsteps to take. Take it, eat it up. So we see that an idea is the whole realm of being. There isn't idea plus matter. There isn't idea plus man. There isn't idea plus anything. It's only idea. And these ideas reflect the seven and the four infinitely. Every idea reflects the seven. Every idea is obedient to mind. Every idea at the same time is unfolding in the order of spirit. At the same time, every idea is ruling with soul. Every idea is connected with each other idea in the system of principle. Every idea therefore helps and supports and provides every other idea in life. Every idea therefore is conscious of every other idea and therefore never ever knows each other idea in truth. And therefore every idea has always a divine purpose to fulfill. What else do we need? What else do we want than to rise in consciousness out of a half metaphysical belief of man and matter, and behind there is idea, out of that to see, I look out from principle. I'm not going to make any deductions from matter, from a situation, to idea. That's metaphysics. But if I rise and see all there is conscious of itself is the principle, principle infinitely conscious of itself as its own ideas, and there I stay, then opens up the infinitude of new ideas. And that will be that chart. That will be this. And so I can see that not only every idea, because it's infinite, reflects the seven, I see it reflects the four. The nature of an idea, we must see, is omnipotent. You can't suppress it. The nature of idea is omniscient. We don't have to tell an idea how to work and what is the right thing to do. The nature of an idea is omnipresent. Omnipresence. Therefore, we don't have to send an idea somewhere and to transfer an idea to somebody and to some patient. It's ever present. And the nature of idea is omni-action. It acts by itself. Terrific! The nature of idea, considered properly, is something terrific. It reflects every idea, the seven and the four. And it's terrific also in that way that these ideas are conscious of themselves. We don't have to be conscious of them in order that they work. We arise out of the method of affirmation and denial, of thinking truth, of denying errors. We rise to the contemplation, that the infinite one has an infinite idea and that each idea is by itself self-conscious of what this idea has to do from the point of principle. And that's all that's going on. Idea has another terrific advantage. It doesn't know good and evil. It's right above good and evil. It solves finally that old fall of man in the second record of creation, that man has eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he knows what is good and what is evil. And the most Christian scientists think how intelligent and how wonderful scientists they are, that they can say to every situation, this is wrong and this is right. You have done wrong and you have done right. And you should have done this and you should have done that, because I know science. Nothing at all. He's a moralist. Ideas are always what they are, above good and evil. Ideas work by themselves, and no human is able to judge if that idea has done its job right or not right. Idea is, and it's far above the concept of good and evil. What the relief we will gain! What a relief! if we can rise above the moralistic sense of knowing good and evil, not to drop down to the position where we say, I can do what I like, it doesn't matter, but to rise to the point of principle where consciousness is contemplating the one principle and its infinite idea, and know that that is what it is. And perhaps we can say, oh, that's very good. But we not even have to say that. Idea is. It's an old hangover, which we have, yeah, to say to everything if it's right or wrong, if it's good or evil. It's a hangover from the theological past. Let's go on. Let's go into that infinite beauty of being. Where an idea works by itself. Humanly, it may hurt. Humanly, it may upset. Humanly, it may bring about a crisis. But that's not evil. It's idea. It's the working of idea that just does not want that anything else exists but idea. And that's true. That is isness. And that you can call good, but you don't need to. It's idea. Ideas are impersonal. They don't belong to anybody. Nobody possesses ideas. Nobody possesses more ideas than the others do. Ideas belong to principle. And so, because they belong to principle, principle and its idea is one. This is the climax of Mrs. Eddy's discovery, which he put down only in 1907. Perhaps today or tomorrow I so often will say this she has said in 1907 or 1908. They were the crucial years for her. There she got to the final revelation of principle and idea. In those last few years she could see right through the last mist into the sublimity of being. And therefore we should heed those statements which she made at the end of her life, because they indicate the advanced stage of consciousness. So principle and its idea is one. Therefore, idea is nothing else but God in operation. Therefore, when I see idea, I see God. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Therefore, I can no more think in terms of ideas and somewhere a principle. Idea is another term for principle, namely the phenomena of principle. Idea is the operation of principle, the individualized manifestation of principle, but still being principle. It's not separate from principle. It's not an outcome which is apart from its source. It's an outcome within the source. We'll see that later on. So I can see when I have an idea that I always have the infinite one. So if we are thinking in terms of ideas, if we give a treatment or anything and we contemplate an idea, we always can know that this is the infinite one and not just a little bit of idea. It's always the infinite one present, the infinite one in its omnipotence right there, the infinite one right there acting. So there is no space, no place, no time, no condition, no situation. There is not the tiniest little place where not the infinite one is right there in its infinitude. Then I have touched principle, an idea being one. And that idea, which is one with its principle, dissolves any illusion. Idea itself dissolves an illusion. I don't have to destroy an illusion. I don't have to destroy carnal mind. I don't have to overcome the carnal mind. The idea does it. And the idea exchanges, therefore, all beliefs for the right ideas. So, this is the new term for man. So instead of thinking about man, which at once gives a correlation with mortals and with people, let's drop that. I know I can't do it from morning to night. I tried, but I have never succeeded. I've never succeeded up to now. But what does it matter? The main thing is that we know the way and that we go and try to go the way. The very circumstance that we always catch up on ourselves and see that we have dropped to the people universe and to the level of men and people, that doesn't matter. As long as we see that we have to rise above that and always say to oneself, now, old boy, pull up your socks. What is going on in being? Is there a people universe? Is there a God somewhere? No. There is only an ever-present, ever-active, ever-self-knowing principle going on as idea. And the more we train ourselves in that new consciousness, the more we culture that in our consciousness, the easier it becomes. And the more we feel the freedom that comes with it, the grandeur that comes with it, the dignity that comes with it, the supremacy that comes with it. Naturally, if mankind for the last few millions of years have been thinking in terms of bodies and peoples, it isn't so easy to break it in one day. But the way is shown, so go the way. We know the way now. We can't say anymore we don't know the way. We know the way now. And it's only up to us to culture it and culture it and culture it, to fail 100 times, to fail 1,000 times, and to pick it up at 1,001 time again. The third obsolete term is in, and the new term is science. Why do I say that? If we take the glossary, she defines that little term in. Why should she take a little term like in and define it? Because it's so important. It says the term in is a term obsolete in science, if used in reference to spirit or deity. So the moment we are contemplating being, the divine principle, we can no more think in terms of in. No more. That's finished. Why is this so necessary? Because the old Christianity sense is still rampant within us, and it's still hanging back to the in. To that in which says the kingdom of heaven is within you. What is without us, if it's only within us? And what is the crust which holds that within together? There is no without and within. Mrs. Eddy would lift this out, though she quotes that quite often, because she has to do that. Her textbook was to take Christianity and take it where it was and try to lift it up a little bit and little bit, and here and there rise right out of the clouds to the facts. Well, she would say the same thing without an in, and say for instance, the divine principle and idea constitute spiritual harmony, heaven and eternity. This is the kingdom of heaven, but not within. It is. Is 2 and 2 equal 4 within? Within us? Within our brain? Within our consciousness? Within anywhere? It is. It is fact. And the more we let an idea be an idea, that is, the more we see an idea without any boundaries, without any restrictions, the more it is idea, the more it is infinite. And the more it is infinite, it reflects the 7 and the 4. It's self-acting, self-powerful, self-present, self-knowing. It's terrific when we see that there is no within. Jesus used to say in that wonderful Gospel of John, constantly in. I in you, you in me, he in him, and so on. In. I in you. Where in you? Where can I be in you? How on earth can I be in you? Can 2 and 2 be in something else, in 4 and 4 or something? It's a fact. Principle and idea constitute harmony. That's the kingdom of heaven. And this is eternal, she says.